Good evening, my friends. I hope you enjoyed that little bit of musical interlude. I didn't want to end that piece. I love it. It's the Seasons of Sampi by Magnus Levinson, and that comes to us through Epidemic Sound. It's royalty-free music. I've cited them a few times before. Just a good handy site. I subscribe to them for pieces of music that I play for anywhere from 30 minutes to 45 minutes prior to going live with our live stream. So I hope you enjoy the music. I try. Tonight we are going to review Revelation. And this is an overview. This is a timeline. This is an outline, if you will. We're not really going to do a deep dive into any particular area of that, except to mention as a point of continuity from our last live stream where we were discussing Revelation 9, verse 5, which had to do with the locust army, the locust torment for 5 months, the stinging of the locusts. And then we had Revelation 16, verse 2, where we were discussing the sores, the malignant sores that people will break out and suffer from for 5 months and seek death and not find it. And my question that I posed to you in that last live stream is it fair to consider the two together? Is it fair to consider the 5 months of torment by way of the locusts as 5 months in which people are experiencing these malignant sores and seeking death for 5 months and not finding it? And so I put it out for all of you to review that, take it to the Lord in prayer, and bring us your interpretation. And I want to thank you for doing that. The conclusion that Kathleen and I have come to after reviewing your input and also our taking it to the Lord and our conversation between the two of us is that they are indeed separate events. Now that seems self-evident because they are separate in the book of Revelation. We have chapter 9 and we have chapter 16. That's pretty separate, I'd say. So maybe it wasn't fair to try to do that. Maybe we were creating some confusion, needless confusion. Perhaps we were sort of presenting and clouding the issue without any real need to do that. But I think it gives us an opportunity to really understand the bigger picture of what's going on with the book of Revelation. John, of course, was on the island of Patmos. It's a desert island off the coast of Turkey. If you've read my second novel, 2048 Diamonds in the Rough, most of the timeline of the action in the storyline itself takes place around the island of Patmos and the seven churches. And so I think it's fitting that we kind of review this a little bit tonight, not just because I was writing about it in my novel, but the book of Revelation, yes, was written for us as children of God, as the remnant, as those that have given our lives over to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died for us on the cross, but defeated death and rose to the right hand of the Father. We, having given up our lives to Jesus Christ, have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of discernment. The book of Revelation is written for us. And not to take away from that, but as we read through the book of Revelation, we see our judgments, those judgments not addressed, not judgments against us. We've given up our lives already. The judgments take the form of the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowl judgments, or vials, as they're called. The seven seals are encapsulated in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 8. The seven trumpets, Revelation 8 through 11. And the seven bowls, Revelation 15 and 16. I'm going to go down through, courtesy of Bible Hub, an outline, not of the entire book of Revelation, but certain excerpts from it, to focus in on the seven seals, trumpets, and bowls. The big takeaway here is that these are directed at the unsaved. This is a time of judgment. Again, this is very self-evident to all of us here. We're really not treading on new territory or new understanding, but I don't think it hurts for any of us, myself included, to have a review of the book of Revelation, no matter how many times we've read it. You know, growing up, and I see the comments in band, and thank you for your comments in band. I read every one of them. I may not read them, you know, as they're posted that night, but certainly the next day I will sit down and read every single comment in band, no matter what topic, what category. So I do see what you're saying, and I greatly, Kathleen and myself, greatly appreciate your participation, but more importantly, that you're sharing the truth with others in band. And that's really its purpose. It's to edify. It's iron sharpening iron. It's to focus in on the remnant at this time. This is really the time for that focus on the remnant. The rest of the world, the majority of it has already sealed their fate by taking the first vaccine, the first jab. As Kathleen told me this afternoon, it's the point, right? So if we want to talk about it and we happen to be on another platform, let's call it YouTube land, we might say the point rather than saying the vaccine. We're free to do this on our private streaming service. But the point most of the world has taken, and that is the point. That is the point of Revelation. They are no longer found in the Book of Life. So these judgments, and as we progress through Revelation, as you have already in your reading of it, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse for those that have taken the mark of the beast. That's the defining point. I probably should have entitled tonight's review of Revelation, The Point of Revelation. We are mentioned as the remnant. We are protected, for example, from the locust army. We are protected from the Antichrist during his rule and reign. We are protected from the beast system. We are protected from those technologies. So I want to start on the positive, the reinforcement in the reviewing of Revelation, with the positive that we are protected, we are provided for. I've said many times, the most powerful weapon system on the planet is prayer with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is literal. That is literal in the physical, and it is literal in the spiritual. The reason that I'm citing prayer at this moment is that prayer should be conducted from a point of gratitude, thankfulness for everything that God has done for us up to this point in our lives. He brought us to the point of anguish in which we, in that anguish, gave up our lives, our seeming control of our lives, to our Lord. And that's what he was waiting for. See, we're predestined for salvation. According to his own word, he knew us from the beginning. He knew who would be saved. But he also gave us the gift of free will, and he was waiting for us to exercise that free will. Of course, he knew when we would. He knew us from the beginning, and he knows us at the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. But from our human perspective, he was waiting for us to make that decision. So at that point of anguish, we turned our lives over. And from that point on, we are forgiven of our sins. We do not stand in his judgment as it's portrayed in the book of Revelation. We wear the white linens, and this is in Revelation, we wear the white linens of salvation. And as such, we are now members of his army, which will return to Megiddo for Armageddon to fight the final battle at the end of the book of Revelation. But we're sort of getting ahead of ourselves. So let me go to two excerpts for tonight from Bible Hub, and then we're going to go into our outline of the reviewing of the book of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 through 17 is where we will begin. Parenthetically, I'd like to say probably the majority of you, Kathleen and myself included, are welcoming this departure from talking about economics and derivatives and bonds and all of that stuff. We'll pay attention to it and I'll keep you updated, but this is more important. Get to the correct page. Here we go. Okay, from Bible Hub, just a short line of commentary, and then we'll go to the scripture. Never before or never again will the full, unchecked fury of an angry God be poured out in such measure upon this sinful world. Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, we as the remnant will stand. Certainly the unsaved, the majority of the world, those that have taken the mark of the beast, they will not be able to stand. And many of you, I know you've even written to us and cited this particular chapter and these two verses with respect to the deep underground military bases, right? To no avail, they will be to of no avail to them. Second excerpt here, Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Last live stream I was railing against the Klaus Schwabies of the world. And I like putting him up there front and center all the time because he is so despicable. And I think I just like saying Schwabie. This applies to those characters. The patch 180 here, turning it around, we don't have to reveal the truth. We can see the truth. But the patch 180, in essence, is these do not apply to us. Therefore, this should be read with a profound sense of thankfulness and gratitude, and should be part of what we are mindful of when we use that most powerful weapon system, prayer. When we get quiet with the Lord, we get alone with Him, and we hear that that very familiar, still, small voice of Him teaching us, leading us. Yes, even increasing our wisdom. It's to reinforce to us the Klaus Schwabies of the world will get theirs. Our righteous Lord is coming back this time for judgment. He's coming back as a roaring lion. All of this you already know. But I just want to drive home the point. When you read through Revelation, not only are you mindful in your gratitude as you are in your prayer time, but this gives you a sense of the justice that you no doubt are crying out for, because you have personally been experiencing the injustice of the world. All of you, ourselves included. And we see the accounts in band of the injustice that is done. And we see in the mainstream media and the alternative, the injustice that is done. And we get frustrated. We want Jesus to return right now and deal with all of this. But at the same time, we are grateful for all that He has done for us up to this point in our personal lives, and especially from the time of salvation, in that moment of anxiety, that experience, that short or long time frame of anxiety in your life, and not just anxiety, but the anguish that brought you to the Lord. Because that's really what it requires. It's not sitting in a pew or in a chair and repeating some words and you're saved. No. Just as Jesus Christ experienced the most profound anguish that any human could endure, we too, not to the same degree, certainly not, but in a Christ-like fashion, we experience our own version of that anguish that then brings us to Him. From that point to today, to this very moment, He has been at work in us. He has changed us. He's given us not only knowledge and wisdom, but He has changed our behavior, changed our attitude, and profoundly changed our perspective, our perception of what is going on in the world. You know, I've been saying for many, many live streams now, the rest of the world is blind, deaf, and dumb. Well, the patch 180 of that for all of you and ourselves included, we are not blind, deaf, and dumb. That does bring us to a point of frustration, because we want judgment to be meted out to those that are destroying humanity. Revelation tells us they will get it. They will get what they deserve, and I might say even more. So let me just double check the screen here. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't have the scriptures posted up there. Again, just to read them for those that are writing this down. Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 through 17, and Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. So I'm going to slide those over to the side as we read through our outline again. This is from Bible Hub. One quick note, we are talking about all of us as the remnant. You know, the mark of the beast seals a person. It seals a person for damnation. It seals them as a worshiper of the Antichrist. Well, God's 180 to that is the seal of God on the forehead of the remnant. We featured this in the July edition of Entangled Magazine back in 2020. If you'd like a ready, handy list of scriptures pertaining to the seal of God for the remnant, they are listed in this magazine. The entire magazine is devoted to those scriptures. The seal of God on our forehead. Just wanted to mention that quickly. Okay, to our outline. We're going to go through the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls in that order. So beginning with the seals. The seal judgments. First, there's a cold war, unrest among the nations. Second, there's an open war with blood and death. Again, I'm reading from BibleHub.com. Third, the worldwide famine. Fourth, 25% of humanity is killed by the sword, pestilence, and wild beasts. Fifth, the cry of the martyred for God to avenge their deaths. And sixth, in the seals, a great earthquake, resulting in every mountain and island being moved out of place, the sun to be blocked out, the moon to become as blood, and the sky to be torn apart like a scroll. The trumpet judgments. First, there is hail and fire, causing one-third of the earth to be burned. Second, there's a falling meteorite or an asteroid, destroying one-third of the sea life and ships. Third, another meteorite to poison one-third of the rivers and springs of water. That's commonly referred to as wormwood. Fourth, one-third of the light from the sun, moon, and stars to be diminished. Fifth, the first of two demonic invasions, resulting in all unsaved being tortured for 5 months. That's the locust army. Finally, sixth, the second demonic invasions, releasing 200 million of these hellish creatures, one-third of the unsaved, to die. Finally, to the vial or bowl judgments. First, grievous malignant sores to plague the bodies of the unsaved. Second, the death of all sea life. Third, the probable death of all freshwater life. Fourth, the sun flares are so intense so as to scorch human bodies. Fifth, an unnatural darkness to fall upon the domain of the Antichrist, bringing with it some kind of pain. Sixth, the drying up of the Euphrates River in the Middle East in preparation for Armageddon. Finally, seventh, the greatest earthquake of all time, accompanied by the greatest hailstones, with each hailstone weighing 100 pounds. And then from there, the discussion of the judgment against ancient Babylon. So I hope that helps. If you want to have that outline handy, go to BibleHub.com, type in Revelation, and this is Wilmington's Bible at a Glance, Revelation at a Glance. So Wilmington is WILLMINGTON', Wilmington's Bible at a Glance. I think this write-up is very handy especially for new believers, very handy. It defines individuals in Revelation by name, some of the terms, some of the labels that are in there that may be unfamiliar in a first reading, and plenty of scripture references to the definitions. Okay? Let me get down to where I want to be in here. So the discussion that Kathleen and I often have shared with you is, where are we in the timeline? And I really want to caution at this point in saying we're not trying to predict dates. We're not trying to publish a timeline per se. There are some that are considered to be biblical scholars that will say that the chapters of the book of Revelation are not written, are not presented in chronological order, in a time order. Others will say to the contrary. I think all agree it is very difficult to read this from the standpoint of understanding what is to be taken literally, what is to be taken figuratively or symbolically, and it is in the latter that the greatest consternation, I think, arises in the interpretation of the symbolism. For example, Babylon itself, Babylon the Great. Is it a city? Is it a nation? The discussion of timelines, the discussion of when will the seals, when will the trumpets, when will the bowl judgments come about? And do those come in the order as they are listed in Scripture? Or can they overlap, some overlapping others, from one or all three of those groups of judgments? Can they be compressed? Can they be coalesced together? And then the other question that commonly arises is, where are we in the timeline? Are we in the tribulation? Are we in the first 3.5 years? Are we in the second 3.5 years? Are there 7 years? That's even a question that arises. And then we have the breakdown into the months. And so it can be confusing. And that's why I started here at the beginning by saying the book of Revelation does cite us as the bridegroom. Excuse me, not the bridegroom, that's our Lord. We as the bride, as the remnant. But in that discussion of the remnant, there's another debate that takes place. And that has to do with, and I will cite it, we don't talk about this very often, but the rapture. Before I even say briefly anything about the rapture, we, Kathleen and myself, view this as a topic that causes a lot of division amongst the saved. And of course, there's the natural division that has been put forth of pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. But the big question is rapture as a doctrine, as a teaching, is it valid? Or has that been put together by Schofield and Darby, who are often cited? Is this rapture discussion exclusive? Is it taught only in the evangelical churches? We leave it to you as to whether this is a valid doctrine, that it should be taught, whether it should be taught as pre, mid, or post Revelation, whether it's valid or not. We leave that up to you. We always, in everything, but in this particular topic, again, I will say, take it to the Lord in prayer. Get quiet with the Lord and listen. He will tell you what is valid. I can't tell you, and it if I were to say anything more than what I've just said, it would, again, create a lot of division. And that isn't our purpose here. There are valid reasons to question and to interpret and to develop your own position, but it should be a position of understanding that the Lord brings you to. And again, I think that's self-evident. But I bring it up, the topic of the rapture, because obviously that is, along with 1 Thessalonians, is it 1 or 2 Thessalonians? See, I'm not even that familiar enough to cite the correct chapter. Somebody can post it in band. But anyway, obviously the rapture is focused upon the book of Revelation, which is where we are right now. So that's the only reason I bring it up. So I'm not going to dive into a rapture discussion, is really what I'm saying. But the question often arises about the book of Revelation and the seals, the trumpets, and the bowl judgments. Are we experiencing any of those judgments right now? Now, you know, we talk about the bowl judgments. That's opens up, you know, sort of the proverbial can of worms. We have considered and presented to you our thoughts as to where we think we are with respect to Revelation and the timeline. Our understanding is that we are already at the midpoint of tribulation. We've already been through what is known as the tribulation, and then the second half of the tribulation being the great tribulation, which is Antichrist and forward in tribulation. So that means when we look at these seals and trumpets and bowls, have any of these played out? Have those judgments been meted out by the Lord to those that are unsaved? Again, maybe it's, you may think I'm sidestepping the whole issue or the whole discussion, but again, that's really for your interpretation. We could cherry pick these judgments and try to find application in the world events that are unfolding today. But that would only be our perspective. And we're not dogmatic about our perspective. We are wide open to the leading of the Lord in all of this. But let me go back to Bible Hub. The seal judgments. The first of the seal judgments, Cold War, as it is abbreviated here in the outline. And I'm not reading the verse in its entirety. A Cold War and an unrest amongst the nations. Well, certainly the Cold War, as we understand it, all of us here, the Cold War, meaning after World War II and the dropping of the two atomic bombs, warfare from that point on, because it was non-nuclear, was considered a Cold War. And especially in the advent of computers and computer hacking and cyber attacks, it's a Cold War. So perhaps we could say that that already has been placed in motion, that it's already happening. The second is open war, blood and death. Well, that is certainly open to interpretation. Look at what's going on in the Ukraine right now between Russia and the Ukraine and all of the other wars in the Middle East. We've had two major wars in the Middle East, preceded by the Vietnam War. So again, we could pick these up and place them in the historical 2020 perspective. But let's get to the third one, worldwide famine. We haven't experienced that one yet. The fourth, 25% of humanity killed by the sword and pestilence and wild beasts. So as we go through this, you can see that many of these have not yet occurred. But if we start with Cold War and then we have open war, perhaps a case could be made, and maybe I'm soft pedaling this. Maybe this is too soft for some of you. You like to hear it when I'm more dogmatic and dramatic about it, but I'm being careful here. Just like in the last live stream, I was very measured in my words, and I'm continuing that tonight because this is very serious. We can't just gloss over these things. But I think a case could be made that at least the first two seals have been put into motion. And again, these are judgments. Let's jump down to the trumpet judgments. First, hail and fire causing one third of the earth to be burned. We haven't seen that yet. The meteorites, we haven't seen that yet, and so forth. So let's go to the bowl judgments. The first is grievous malignant sores to plague the bodies of the unsaved. Well, in the greater body, if you will, of those that have been vaccinated, we're not seeing the malignant sores. There are reports, sporadic cases of people breaking out in sores post-vaccine for SARS-CoV-2. But I think we can all agree that these bowl judgments, these malignant sores, are really for the global population that is unsaved. We're not seeing that yet. And then if we go on through the rest of these, so these, obviously, these are for later. These are for the Great Tribulation, for the most part. But again, the seal judgment, some of the seals, the first and second, I think we could make a case for saying that they are already underway. So let's step away from this for a moment. Let's step away from the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. And as we did in the last live stream, let's go back to early 2020. January of 2020, SARS-CoV-2 was still called, referred to as a novel coronavirus, meaning it had never been seen before. It was novel in that broader family of coronaviruses. An influenza, a flu virus. Where are we now? January of 2023. 3 years. 20, inclusive. 20, 21, 22. 3 years inclusive. We're moving very quickly to 3.5 years. Now, it could be, a case could be made, that before this became public in January, there were rumblings, we were seeing reports in December coming out of China of a new virus. In November, there were reports of an outbreak from the pangolin and from the bat, a bat virus. We first started hearing about that in November of 2019. So could we go back 6 months? Could we say we are already at the end of 3.5 years? Possibly. Now I understand, and I'm going to jump forward in Revelation here, I understand that as we read the book and assume a chronological unfolding of events, the Antichrist isn't revealed for quite some time. Okay? I have one reference. I'm just going to take a quick look at this to refresh my memory. I'm looking for the Antichrist in a timeline. Interesting. Anyway, sorry, it isn't a very good reference. I'm not going to share it with you. It's not accurate enough. But the big question that arises in all of our minds is, when will the Antichrist be revealed? I still follow the school of thought that Revelation is not necessarily laid out chronologically. Now, I don't claim to be a biblical scholar, and I am more than welcome, I'm more than welcome hearing from you in your readings as to whether the book is chronologically laid out, or for whatever reason, things can overlap or retrace, that they're presented early. But I would be remiss if I were not to again state what I've been saying, I think, pretty dogmatically, at least in the last 12 months, that I think that the Antichrist is soon to be revealed. I really am reticent to set dates, but my sense of it at this point, because of how things are moving faster and faster, and Satan, of course, the backdrop, Satan having but a short time, things are always accelerating at an ever-increasing rate of acceleration. it still seems to me, after reading most of the book of Revelation today, and looking at the outline, it still seems to me, it sits well with me, that 2023 will be the year that the Antichrist is revealed. Certainly, I can be wrong in that. But working sort of backwards takes us to the reset. Takes me to what I said last live stream. Why would Schwabe in June of 2020, and we published in July of 2020, the Seal of God edition of Entangled Magazine, and leading up to that for 3 months, three editions of the magazine, we laid out the case for the vaccine for SARS-CoV-2 as the mark of the beast, and that it is delivered with the very first injection, the point. In that time frame in history, Schwabe comes on the world platform and says, we have a narrow window of opportunity for a reset, meaning he was citing SARS-CoV-2 as the reason for that narrow window of opportunity, that this pandemic, as it was by then declared as a pandemic, provided that opportunity. It was the excuse. This is old news to all of you. But for me, understanding that they time the release of their information, they make their proclamations, they make their announcements very specifically. When you're talking about this level of people in the mainstream media making their statements, these are timed statements. Just as I've said, they choose their words very carefully. So to the timing of the use of those words. Therefore, I take that as a timestamp, June of 2020. And it brings us to the midpoint, which is when the Antichrist is enthroned. I'm not saying June of 2023. I'm simply saying that somewhere in this, we have a timeline that they're telegraphing to us. It's kind of interesting. I don't find a scripture that tells me that no man knows the day or the hour for the announcement, the identification of the Antichrist. Now, if there is a scripture, please share it with me. I'm not being combative here. I'm just saying it's a point of ignorance on my part. But I don't recall anywhere in the Bible where that time, that date, other than mid-tribulation, where he's revealed. The only time that no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father knows, that applies, of course, to the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming. Therefore, my conclusion is that those that are steeped in Luciferian worship, Luciferian communication, who are communicating directly with Satan himself, they know the timeline for the Antichrist. The reset is the catalyst. It precipitates what is necessary to enthrone the Antichrist. He needs a new system, and we've detailed all of this in the infrastructure and everything else. But all of that needs to happen, and this is what Schwabe was telling us in June of 2020. We are getting ready to take down the entire world as it exists, all sectors of life, and we are going to bring in a new way of living under a new king. This is why they've been pushing all of this faster and faster and harder and harder. Because they know when the Antichrist is scheduled to be revealed. So as we have been doing, we've been looking at what we call indicators that are specific to the reset. But even bigger than that, indicators of how close we are to the revealing of the Antichrist, a revelation. As we've reviewed the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, all of these, save perhaps two seals, have yet to transpire. They are post-Antichrist. How can I say that? Again, I'm being very measured tonight. I'm just kind of going step by step here. How can I say that these judgments are post-Antichrist? Well, it's because they are judgments, they are punishment against those that have taken the mark of the beast. Most of the world already has taken the mark of the beast. So the judgments must begin. But the mark of the beast applies to the Antichrist. So the Antichrist needs to be front and center. Then these judgments unfold. I can appreciate that there are biblical scholars that will say, wait a second, you're violating the timeline of the book of Revelation. Indeed, I may be from their perspective, from their dogmatic position about how things are supposed to in lockstep unfold with regard to the seals, trumpets, and bowls. But I take the position that Revelation is not that clear-cut in terms of a sequence of events. Remember, this was given to John in a vision. I'm not saying there's anything that is inaccurate. It's simply, I think, in the assembly of the information, because it's in the context of a vision, it may not necessarily be in an order that we would find usable. It would be great if it said 1, 2, 3, 4 all the way through and we knew exactly what was going to play out and when. But I don't think that's the case. This is reflected in how many different scholars that I have read their interpretations of Revelation and how varying amongst scholars their interpretations of this book are. So I can only give you my interpretation. Of course, this is in concert with Kathleen in our conversations. And again, I'm at a disadvantage because I'm not a scholar. But if we simply look at the evidence that has already transpired, we have our 2020 hindsight. We have the benefit of maybe 3.5 years of events that we can look at and say, that's a defining moment. Remember I said January of 2020 was a line in the sand. It was a point of demarcation. Because that is used as a reference of post-COVID in so many different venues. Post-COVID, just like post-9/11, post-COVID. Therefore, it's telling us that it's significant. It's not just a pandemic that was put together just to upset everybody or just for an economic reset. It was a pandemic that was planned for the enthroning of the Antichrist. So now we move from January to June, Klaus Schwab 2020, and we move forward from there and we have all these different indicators that we have covered since 2020, pointing to a reset and pointing to how close we are to the revealing of the Antichrist. Those indicators in culmination, in combination, in my interpretation of Revelation, points to 2023 as the year not only for the reset, but the revealing of the Antichrist. Because these indicators are very clear. We're not blind, deaf, and dumb, you and I. Many of the ones that have been cited by you and us together have played out. The indicators, we cited them as expectations of things that would be announced, that would unfold, and they have. No credit taken here, personally. It's all credit to the leading of the Lord. Therefore, I think it's reasonable to say that they are pushing very hard on the financial side that we've covered for several weeks now, pushing very hard on the financial side. I'll put it briefly, to restructure the banking system, the global banking system. That's a huge indicator. It's the reason Schwab's been running around screaming for a reset. It's the debt. And how is the reset accomplished? Remaking the banking system. Now, for those that didn't hear in the last live stream, we pinpointed from the Bank for International Settlements and the European Central Bank from their websites, especially the European Central Bank's website, the 21st of March for their Big Bang cutover. I need to verify. I'm just going to reconfirm that. Very quickly. I have a little doubt in my mind here. Let me see what I've got. Here it is. No, it's not there. Give me just a second. I just want to confirm that date. They have it here as the 20th of March. That's an old citation. Yep, 20th of March. I just want to be accurate in my reporting. 20th of March from the European Central Bank's website. Now, does that mean that on the 20th of March they're going to shut down the internet? Well, is shutting down the internet necessary for the reset? It isn't necessary for the Big Bang cutover. That's their work. Those are their words for the changing from their legacy analog banking system, their settlement system, to a digital tokenized system. But I made the case in the last live stream. How many changes from one software system to another have you experienced in your lives, especially in the workplace, that have gone 100% smoothly? Yes, the banking system, the European Central Banks, and the Federal Reserve have been testing and testing and testing for several years this system. But it's a ready-made excuse for why the internet would go down, why the internet would be shut down. That there, and I find it, again, we shared this 2 months ago, that they call it the Big Bang cutover. Cutover is a technical term. I call it flipping the switch, and I did before I ever read this in the central bank. I'd never seen cutover from the banking system and never had seen Big Bang from the banking system. And yet a couple of months ago, I read it through there, reading what they were planning, and I was thoroughly amused. Well, if it's a Big Bang, that sounds like an explosion. I know why they're using that. They're just trying to be somewhat dramatic. But that's an explosion. Maybe I'm over interpreting, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but it kind of sounds like they want to destroy something. It could be a ready excuse. But I'm not banking on it, and I had to say that. I won't apologize. I had to say that. I'm not banking on the 20th of March being the date that the internet is going to be shut down. But I do firmly believe, because of the rate at which things are moving, their indicators, and how many more of them are coming closer and closer together, like the birth pangs in Scripture, these indicators, huge indicators of what they're doing, by their own statements, by their own press releases. And we call them indicators, major things, major shifts that are occurring. These events are coming closer and closer together. Perhaps that's why they're called birth pangs. Well, you cannot stop those. That means something has to be birthed. I think it's the birthing of the Antichrist. As the birth pangs get closer and closer together, that means the arrival time is coming closer and closer. It's imminent. So let's not only just cite this Big Bang cutover as a huge indicator, but let's step back one and talk again briefly about cryptocurrencies. When we first presented Libra, then the name changed to Diem, back in 2018, we made the statement that all cryptocurrencies would be rendered obsolete and there would be only one, Diem, only one cryptocurrency for the world. Well, this year, 2022, was the year of the downfall of cryptocurrency, the decentralized financial system. It's being, as we speak, rendered obsolete. Again, our whole discussion, we devoted a magazine to FTX and its collapse and Sam Bankman-Fried and all those things. This was by design. FTX was set up to create a cascading effect throughout the decentralized financial community to disenfranchise digital currencies, to make them a pariah in the investment community and the speculation community, the community of speculators. And this has resulted in literally billions of dollars being lost and billions being withdrawn from accounts. So you have this implosion that is underway of the cryptocurrency decentralized financial system. You have to do that in order to have one cryptocurrency standing. And that cryptocurrency is Diem, and that will be employed by the Antichrist. Lots of people are making the case for XRP from Ripple and others, but that's just for interbank testing. And in the early stages, post-reset, Web 3.0, in the early weeks, the central banks will still exist and will still be communicating using XRP. But then that will go away and be replaced by Diem, which will be a global cryptocurrency, which then moves out of the realm of central bank communication to global communication economically, which envelops the serf class that have taken the mark of the beast. Diem applies to the serf class. That's the single global currency. So as an indicator, this implosion, the obsolescence of cryptocurrencies right now, is another birth pang. And this is right at the same time, right alongside the Bank for International Settlements Review Report, which is the basis for the January edition of Entangled Magazine. They released that in December of 2022. The same time that FTX was going bankrupt and Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested. Same time. The timing is purposeful and very specific. Okay? It appears to me, with the 20th of March being their date for the Big Bang cutover, that we will not see the internet being switched off until sometime after the 20th of March. I really don't think it's that imminent. But that's soon. Okay? I mean, it's right now. It's January 10th. There will be other birth pangs between now and March that will unfold. Perhaps it will be a seal that is unsealed. But I think it's reasonable to state at this point that we are in the tribulation, that we are nearing the end of 3.5 years of tribulation. Perhaps March of this year marks the midpoint. So what else is to come? Let's go back to our outline. In terms of SEAL, first and second, we have Cold War. Second is open war, blood and death. Third is worldwide famine. I would view worldwide famine, and I think again it's self-evident, that that SEAL judgment is a result of the flipping of the switch, the internet going down, which destroys the supply chain system, which prevents food from being delivered to the stores, and famine on a global basis will ensue because there's no global economy. There are no global communication systems. So as we dig a little bit deeper into worldwide famine, that's the indicator of the reset. That's a SEAL judgment. Then that is followed by 25% of humanity killed by the sword, pestilence, and wild beasts. I suppose a case could be made that that would be part of that time frame where the internet is still shut down. Sword, pestilence, and wild beasts. I don't know. But if there's worldwide famine, it wouldn't take much for 25% of humanity to be killed off. Anyway, I don't have much more for this evening. I think where I want to leave this is to encourage you, if you haven't done so for a while, get into the book of Revelation from the standpoint that this applies to the unsaved. It's too easy for us as saved individuals to read the book of Revelation and have a sense of fear and trepidation welling up within us. As Kathleen said to me this afternoon, she said, "This is going to be horrible." This is terrible what's coming on the world. But we often take you back and remind you of the Israelites in Exodus, God's protection and God's provision. We even saw how, as a stiff-necked people, even after the rock was smoked, it was struck by God and split, and water was provided in the desert, that they complained and didn't believe, didn't have faith enough to believe that God would provide food. And then he turned around and provided manna from the heavens. That's a lesson for us, because we can look at it with 20/20 hindsight and carry that forward into the tribulation, such that we know that as God provided for his chosen in the desert for 40 years, he didn't fail them. He judged them, but he didn't fail them. Now, because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we're not subject to judgment. We're still sinners, but our sins have been washed clean. That doesn't mean we get to run around and be sinful. But we are a different people because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That changed everything. That literally changed you and I, right down to our DNA. Therefore, God will remain in his covenant with us, remain with us. The Lord is with us every step into the tribulation, every step of the way with us. And this is why I've shared the picture with you that we will operate outside the beast system. We will literally be supernaturally protected and provided. And I do think that the surf class Homo Novus will not even be aware of us. They're interfacing, they're communicating with a computer system. We're outside of that system. We're separate from the world. We operate outside the beast system because we have the seal of God. It says in Revelation, the locust army will not be able to touch us. I'm paraphrasing. They can't touch, the locusts cannot, the demons cannot touch those with the seal of God on the forehead. You see, the mark of the beast is the 180. It's the counterfeit of the seal of God. It's the seal of Satan. Satan only can copy what God has created, can only copy the plan. The judgments are exclusive to those who have taken the seal of Satan. God's protection is exclusive to those that have the seal of God on their forehead. Two very distinct groups of people, but two very distinct environments. There is an environment of Homo Novus with the mark of the beast that are judged. The seals, the trumpets, the bowls apply to them specifically, not to us. We're a separate group in a separate environment. This is a different way of looking at Revelation, environmentally, if you will. I welcome the notion that we are in the desert. We are separate from Egypt, the world. We have been taken out of Egypt. We are in a different environment from Egypt. Yes, Egypt is in the desert, but you understand what I mean. We literally, by our free will decision, we are now taken out of this world, meaning we are taken out of the environment of those that have taken the mark. So the fear and trepidation that may well up within us as we read the entire book of Revelation, it's not a pleasant time. As Kathleen said, it's going to be horrible, but not for you and I. We will observe what's happening. We will observe the judgments coming down, all three groups of the judgments coming down upon the majority of humanity. But when I speak of God protecting us, he's enveloping us. He's shielding us from all of this that is happening to the rest of the population. It's as if we're existing in a microcosm. I think it's fair to look at it that way, if you will, sort of in a scientific way. I think what I'm trying to accomplish here tonight, we talk about independent thinking and critical thinking. I'm trying to provoke your thinking regarding your interpretation of Revelation, perhaps in a little different way. Not because I'm trying to mislead, but to take into appreciation the modern day science and technology and use that as a prism, a glass prism, to see through the glass, not dimly, but to see through the glass clearly, as Scripture says. To use their own scientific structures, definitions, principles, applications, because we're all fully immersed in a scientific environment. We can't escape it. So use it as a way to look at Revelation from a scientific perspective. Certainly the spiritual. We have to start with the spiritual. And I think we can couple our scientific knowledge into interpreting what is going on. I'm not saying the judgments scientifically, although we can talk about meteorites and that sort of thing. We can talk about the sores, the grievous sores, scientifically. But I mean scientifically in terms of the indicators, the things that the Luciferians are trying to put into place that are indicators of the timeline of Revelation. Whether the numbers are accurate or not regarding who's been vaccinated and who hasn't, we know the majority of humanity has been vaccinated. That's a given. And that had to start well before the flipping of the switch, the reset. Just from a logistical standpoint, it had to start well ahead of time. That's been accomplished. That began to trigger the cryptocurrency implosion. This was in keeping with the banking timeline that started in 2007, the timeline for shifting to the digital system for banking. That timeline has been fixed. It was supposed to take place in November of 2022, but they had to push it out to March because they still had a few banks that hadn't completed their testing. So they pushed it to March. At least that's the story that they put out. I don't believe it. I think it's always been March of 2023. Again, because the timelines have been very specifically set well ahead of time. So therefore, we look at what they're doing with science, what they're implementing, and what they're planning to implement as we apply scientific understanding to what we are reading in the book of Revelation. That's a different way of looking at Revelation. I think it helps to answer some of the questions regarding interpreting the symbols and even interpreting the judgments, the three groups of judgments. And specific to the judgments, it answers why the judgments are necessary, because of what has been employed in science. The obvious one is what they're doing genetically to the human race that requires this judgment system, these seals, trumpets, and bowl judgments. If it was just the scientific genetic modification, that would probably be enough to bring all this down. But it's not just that. It's not just the genetics. That's the primary, because that's the soul. That's the removal of a person's name from the book of life. And then as a subset to that are all of these other scientific programs they're putting in place, like the digital global economic system. No man may buy or sell. That's why the mark of the beast for the command and control of humanity, the digital control, the surveillance, internal and external surveillance of the human body and human mind. So we have to take all of these scientific announcements and put them into the book of Revelation, and then it begins to clarify what's going on and why. Anyway, I hope that helps a little bit. I didn't want to make this a long, drawn-out discussion. I really wanted to keep this as an outline for you tonight so that it's usable. Just remember, the indicators are the birth pangs, and they're coming, the indicators are coming closer and closer together. And that is birthing the Antichrist. I think that will happen sometime in 2023 after the Big Bang cutover on the 20th of March. I think that's about as specific as I dare even attempt to be specific. And you know, I'm going to be candid with you. I always am, but on this point, I do hope the Antichrist is revealed to the world very early. I could even say, bring him on in March of 2023. Bring him on. Why? Because then Jesus Christ will be returning that much sooner. He will cut short the days, cut short the reign of the Antichrist, and return. That's what we're all praying for. That's what we are all looking heavenward for, is the return of our Lord and Savior. So the sooner the Antichrist is here, the sooner the Lord's going to be here. So I say, bring it on. No fear in anyone here. No reason for it. God bless you all, and good night.